In the deepest heart of the forest, where the bare branches of the ancient trees stretched so far into the sky a snowflake might take hours to find its way to the forest floor, there lived a witch. She was a young witch, hardly more than a girl, at least to look at. Not that anyone saw her, hidden away as she was by the trees and snow. And not that she was truly young, not anymore. Her fresh face and long curling hair had become a cloak to disguise her lonely, aging soul, for she was cursed. Who can say what petty jealousies drove another witch to cast such a spell? No one living remembers what might have caused such a quarrel. It seemed unremarkable among the townsfolk, who saw young ladies at odds with each other every week, over ill-chosen words, over a suitor, over dresses and shoes and invitations to cotillions. It seemed unremarkable to them, until the lovely young woman with the long curling hair walked into the forest as if led by unheard music. One of the boys at the sawmill spied her, called her name, but she gave no sign she heard. A carter along one of the forest tracks jumped down from his wagon and ran after her, but soon lost sight of her and could not find her trail again. The young witch walked into the forest, farther than she had ever ventured before, until she came to a great tumble of rocks with a little spring beside it. The spell brought her to the water's edge, and she was compelled to kneel and drink. Once she had, the compulsion fell away, and she heard distant, echoing laughter. She bolted to her feet and ran for the village, back to her home and her family, and the young man who was her sweetheart, the man she hoped to marry some day. But a great white wolf stood in her way. She tried to outrun the wolf, and found she could not, though he did not seem to mean her harm. He only paced her, matching her strides as she darted this way and that, seeking to circle the beast, even if it meant running miles out of her way before returning to the village. When she could run no longer and paused to catch her breath, the wolf settled on his haunches nearby. When she began to walk, he walked beside her, and her fear of him eased. But she could not reach the village. As the afternoon faded to twilight, she saw the rocks again and the spring. Somehow the wolf had led her back, or the spell had. Nightfall approached. The witch's hooded cloak protected her from the cold well enough, but to survive until morning she would need a fire. And wolves feared fire, so she feared the wolf again for what his reaction might be. As she built a tent of twigs around her kindling, the white wolf stepped close, using his muzzle to break apart her careful work. Then he sauntered away. The message was clear, not here. So she followed as the wolf disappeared around the edge of the rocks. What else could she do? She found him standing in the mouth of a small cave. His den, perhaps, the witch thought at first, but there were no tracks in the snow except the ones leading to it that the wolf had just made. But a cave was the best shelter she could hope for if she could not go home. She gathered more twigs under the wolf's watchful eye, but he did not challenge her when she lit the fire with flint and tinder. When she woke the next morning, she hoped the wolf might have wandered away in the night, hunting, or returning to his den to sleep. But he was there, beside the spring, waiting for her. And so began her confinement to the forest. Wherever she went, the white wolf was close at hand. He followed her as she foraged for food, though pickings were lean in the deeps of winter, and she often slept hungry. He kept to her side as she roamed the woods, exploring her new home, though she still could not reach the village. As soon as she came close enough to hear voices or smell the smoke from a fireplace, the spell turned her feet away, sending her back to her cave no matter how she struggled against it. Winter passed into spring, and the wolf did not seem to mind when she searched for the herbs and flowers she needed to cast her charms. First, a small spell of divination, that she might better understand the terms of the curse upon her. It was no spell she recognized, and without knowledge of it, she could not set about breaking it. As the season passed, and her spells grew more elaborate, more targeted at the root of her isolation, she learned something which astonished her. The wolf was not a part of the curse, but cursed himself, just as she was. Or perhaps not quite. For he was bound to the spring, the water from which they both drank, but there was something more to his enchantment that she did not yet understand. The witch had not discovered the reason for the curse, but whatever it was, at least she might have deserved it. The wolf, on the other hand, was an innocent creature of the wild with no malice in his heart. That the spell bound him here, bound him to her, infuriated the witch. She began to think of breaking the curse as setting them both free, not just herself. Spring passed into summer, and the witch exhausted her knowledge of divination in her efforts to understand the fate that had befallen them. The wolf stayed beside her, not leaving to seek the company of a pack or the solace of a mate, which she thought odd. But then, though the cave was large and comfortable, spacious enough for many wolves, the witch supposed even if the wolf found a mate, no unenchanted animal would accept a human's presence in its den. So the witch and the wolf had only each other's company, and the witch bore her loneliness as best she could. As the summer peaked, she left off all efforts at her craft to begin preparing for winter. She had nearly starved that first season, and might succumb the next if she did not ready herself. She gathered nuts and set berries out on the stones to dry in the sun. In this, the wolf's constant presence was a blessing, for he frightened the squirrels and other small creatures that might seek to steal from her stores. Fall came soon enough, and she redoubled her efforts, feeling the keen bite of the wind through her increasingly threadbare cloak. On the night of the first snowfall, she built her fire in the mouth of the cave as she always did, but as she laid out the twigs, the wolf stepped inside. She wondered if he meant to knock her fire down, as he had on the night of the curse, but he merely curled up next to a rough pallet of springy pine boughs. She lay down to sleep, and the wolf nestled beside her. For the first time in almost a year, she felt a sharp stab of fear in her heart, for the wolf was acting strangely. She curled into herself, as far from the large furry body as she could, though she still felt the heat rising from him. The wolf leaned close and licked her face, and startled her into a laugh. Her fear vanished as she realized the wolf was only offering warmth for the night. Many years passed in the same pattern. In the spring and the summer, the witch sought to understand the curse that bound them, though without her spell books, without the elder witches who had quietly begun to teach her, she could find no answers. The wolf turned out to have surprising talents as a thief, bringing her clothing when hers began to fall to pieces. She supposed he snatched them from drying lines and could not imagine how he knew what to take. The thought that he might fetch what she needed from her library occurred to her, but she dismissed it immediately. She had already lost count of the winters she had passed in the forest, and she imagined her possessions were gone, that her family had sold them off when she did not return. They had not been poor, but they had not been rich either, and her younger sisters had shown no interest in witchcraft. Sometimes she wondered, too, what had become of her young man, her sweetheart. He might be married by now, with a whole passel of children, having found another girl to take her place. She hoped he had waited a little while, at least. The turn of a season or two, perhaps, in the hope that she might still come home. She did not wish heartbreak or loneliness upon him, but she did not like the idea that he had not missed her. She missed the sound of his voice, which she was afraid she was beginning to forget. She missed his smile, and the way his fingertips dug into her skin when he kissed her, like he fought against his hands wandering too far. She had not lain with him, though she had burned to. Soon, she had told herself then. Now, she regretted the lost chance, and wondered if she would ever feel the touch of a human hand again. Sometimes, when she lost herself in thoughts of home, of the past, and of what could never be, the wolf would come to her side, lay his head upon her knee, and whine softly until she scratched behind his ears. It became easy for the witch to think of him as no more than a hound, her faithful companion, because his manner with her was not that of a wild animal. After many years, the witch awoke one winter morning to a growl coming from the mouth of the cave. The wolf stood guard over her, his hackles raised, as the shadow of a hooded figure darkened her doorstep. "Who are you?" the witch cried. She hardly ever spoke anymore and did not recognize her own voice. "Why have you come here?" The shadow wavered, growing thin, and the witch realized it was not a person, but the seeming of one. "I have searched for you a long time, little one." though it had been years, that voice the witch remembered, one of her teachers. She rose from her bed and set a gentle hand on the wolf's head to calm him. "And you have found me. The curse that binds you is a strong one, beyond my power to break. Have you discovered its limits?" The witch told her mentor of her efforts, outlining them quickly, for sendings such as this one could last only a short time. After explaining the lack of knowledge she suffered, the witch asked, "How else might I search?" "The curse flows from the water of the spring," was the answer her mentor gave. "Draw on the light of the moon to scry in its waters, and perhaps you will see something invisible in daylight." The shadow wavered a final time, then dissolved as the cave flooded with sunshine. So the witch waited anxiously for the next full moon. All her past attempts at divination had been performed during the day, with no regard to the lunar cycle, for moon magic was a branch of the craft she had not yet fully learned. But reaching back into her memory, the moon had been full on the night she fell under the curse, so it seemed the right time to try. The wolf sensed her agitation as the nights passed, how she could not sleep but tossed endlessly about. He curled closer to her, and the warm, earthy scent of his fur soothed her enough to rest for a time. When the night of the full moon came, the witch knelt in the snow beside the spring and looked at herself in the water. Her face was thinner, and she looked tired, but it seemed to her that she had not aged. Though she had lost exact count of the years, she was certain she should not still be that young woman hovering at the cusp of adulthood. And how long was a wolf's lifespan? Should he not have aged and maybe died as well? Her heart swelled with pain at the idea of losing her only companion. But one needs a clear mind and a steady heart to scry, so she set aside her turmoil and unfocused her eyes, letting her reflection in the water scatter into shards of disconnected color. They swirled and reformed, showing her a night much like that one, cold and still and quiet. A man sprinted into view, splashing into the spring as a formless shadow that was no more than a blacker piece of night chased him. The witch's heart soared. The man was her sweetheart, and she had not seen his face in so long. At the center of the spring, where the water came to his knees, he halted suddenly, trapped in place by some unseen force. The shadow extended a thin hand and spoke in a deep, menacing voice. "You love her, and you sought to protect her from me. But I love her too, and I will be second best to no one. So I wish the two of you join each other for the rest of time." A thin blade of darkness flew from the shadow's hand, piercing her young man in the heart, and in a flash of silver moonlight he was no longer human, but a wolf, a great white wolf. "Guard her if you will, or leave and try your luck in the wilds in your new form, but she will never know you." The witch's heart went cold at the spite, anger, and jealousy in those words. All this time, she had wondered what she might have done to deserve this fate, but the curse had been cast upon her love, not her. She blinked her eyes to clear the vision away and stretched out her hand. The wolf, her wolf, trotted over and pressed his muzzle into it. "How could I not see?" she whispered. The charm she spoke then was simple, a few words beseeching the moonlight to reveal the true form of something. And then her sweetheart crouched beside her in the snow, his clothing hanging off him in tatters. "You were never supposed to," he answered, and his voice was almost as she remembered, though the growl of the wolf was still there inside it. "Did I understand the curse rightly? Have you been free to leave all this time while I'm bound here?" He nodded and shivered. The witch realized how ill-dressed he was for the cold, and led him beyond the fire to her bed inside the cave, where she wrapped him in her cloak and a few of the blankets he had stolen for her over the years. She hushed him when he tried to speak again, pulling him close for a kiss. She would not waste the second chance. He reached out to enfold her in the blankets too, drawing her in as his body warmed to hers. The fragments of his clothing seemed to melt away under her touch, and she rushed to surrender her garments as well. Her skin was on fire with the need to feel his, and the taste of his mouth was sweeter than dried berries or wild honeycomb. This was what she needed, what her soul cried for even as she found it, warm skin and hard muscle beneath her fingertips instead of fur. She ached with a need she'd never felt so sharply before, the need to be filled, separate and complete all at once. A need that grew with every touch of his hands and lips and tongue. Murmured words of love mixed with moans and laughter and short, sweet cries as the witch and her sweetheart finally came together, so many years later, in the close darkness of their cave in the forest. It wasn't a tryst in the hayloft as it might have once been, but the witch laughed again as the final waves of her pleasure passed and she held her lover to her heart. "Worth staying by me all this time?" she asked. "Yes," he whispered, and she heard his whole heart in the word. After a time, they began again, and then again, not losing the night in sleep. She said nothing of it, but in the back of her mind, the witch heard the words of her mentor again. "The curse flows from the water of the spring." How long could he resist thirst before he must drink and become the wolf once more? When the fire had fallen to embers and sunlight crept into the cave, she spoke to him of her suspicion, and he agreed to wait as long as he could stand. They managed to eat a small meal before falling back into each other's arms, and after, as the sun rose high in the sky, they rested entwined and spoke of more practical matters, like what other supplies he should try to steal for her. She laughed and told him about her spell books, and he laughed too. But there was something in his smile that made the witch wonder if he meant to try. For the curse wasn't broken. She had only found a way around it, and not for long. Late that evening, he looked at her sadly and said, "It's time." His voice was more rasped than growl, and she knew he was right. She did not watch him leave the cave, because she could not bear seeing him become the wolf again. When he returned and pressed his muzzle into her hand, she began to cry, looping her arms around his neck and weeping into his fur. The next day, he disappeared for most of the afternoon, returning at twilight with something in his jaws. The witch took it from him, hoping he hadn't put tooth marks in one of her grimoires, only to find it was a bundle of clothing, and when she unwrapped it, she found it wasn't for her, it was for him. She folded it and placed it carefully at the foot of her bed, telling herself it wasn't truly so long until the next full moon.